I wish it was, but it's raining. Yeah, it does rain in Southern California. It rains in Central California, too. No, yes, there's still the palm trees, so that's a consolation. Hi, folks, Martin Zender here, coming to you from my studio in Sacramento, California, where it's raining, but apparently that happens here. There are still palm trees, none of which are found in Ohio or Pennsylvania. Several crazy people have tried to plant palm trees in Ohio and Pennsylvania. It just doesn't work. I would like to thank my hosts, our hosts, Joe and Eddie and me. We're here, and our hosts are Anita and Kevin Butler. Glad to be here. Do not be afraid and do not be ashamed. This is my message to you, because it was Paul's message to Timothy. 2 Timothy 1, verses 7 and 8. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Concordant version says, sanity. I'm quoting out of Clyde Pilkington's book, The Church in Ruins. I'm not sure what version he's using here. It must be the King James Version. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. You don't expect to see the word afflictions next to the word good news, the power of God, the afflictions of the gospel. The afflictions of the gospel. The afflictions you're going to go through is that people think you're crazy and that they don't want to hear anything about a gospel of grace. Two words here. These are two of the greatest tools Satan uses against you. The same tools he used against Timothy and that Paul was praying for him to be sustained against. The two tools are fear and shame. Fear, chapter 1, verse 7, and shame, chapter 1, verse 8. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Be not therefore ashamed. Fear and shame. Timothy had this problem. We look up to this man, this amazing man, Timothy. Wow. Paul wrote a letter to him. But this guy was as shaky as the rest of us sometimes get. Listen to a quote from Andre Snyder, a fellow worker of Clyde's and mine in Virginia. He writes this in the book, The Church in Ruins. It seems that Timothy may have been intimidated by those who had prestige, power and influence within the arena of religion and politics, and possibly brought pressure to bear against him. Interesting that the concordance says Paul prayed for Timothy to have a sound mind, to be sane, because this pressure that came to bear on Timothy from without, religious, political, to have power maybe in one of the local ecclesias, this was driving him crazy. He was perhaps on the brink of a nervous breakdown, and Paul is praying for him. Look, God did not give you this. If you're having a nervous breakdown over this truth, God didn't give it to you. And I'm talking to everyone listening to me. If you feel pressure, if you feel oppressed, it's because there is pressure to bear on you from people who you ought not to be bearing this pressure from. People who do not have the Spirit of God, who are trying to talk you out of having it. And they think that if you were following a true gospel, then you would be having prosperity, you would be having happiness. But they see the condition you're in, and they're criticizing you. They say, are you telling me God is with you? Look at all these things going wrong in your life. Isn't this proof that you don't have the truth? No, it's proof that you do have the truth. It's proof that you are undergoing the same pressures that Timothy underwent, or that Paul underwent. Why won't the same people who are criticizing you, they would say to Paul, Paul, aren't you in jail because you're a criminal, because you're a wrongdoer, because you're teaching the wrong thing? Nobody who's heralding the true evangel will be in prison for it. What Bible are these people reading who are leveling this criticism against you? If you're teaching the truth, nothing bad will happen? What Bible are they reading? Look at all the men of God. Well, let's start with Jesus Christ. Not a man of God. He's the Son of God. Despised, forsaken, they thought he was crazy. Worse, the Pharisees said he had a demon. They said that the Son of God had a demon. That was their take on it. Because he said some crazy things. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. They didn't know in what sense he said it. Tear down this temple, I'll restore it. They didn't understand the sense because they didn't have an ounce of spiritual sense. The Apostle Paul came teaching salvation for Gentiles who didn't have any knowledge of Moses, and they called Paul crazy because he was the inaugurator of it. The same people criticizing you would have criticized Paul. There's no doubt about that in my mind. And there's much social stigma attached to believing the truth. You don't go to church because we know that the institution today is a descendant of the institution that crucified Christ. Your church friends who are criticizing you would have crucified Christ, or they would have endorsed those who did. And they would not have sought Paul in prison because that was embarrassing. They would have been embarrassed of Paul, and Timothy had that temptation. Listen to Stuart Allen writing in his book, Letters from Prison. The apostle was now living for the most part in loneliness and rejection. Imprisonment for the truth evidently carried with it a social stigma. I would think so. And the danger of giving public witness to the religion that was now illicit, i.e. the Christian religion, it was illicit, made the possibility of shame a real one. And I tell you today that the truth is still as illicit as the so-called Christian religion was then. That pure move of God became a religion, but it was illicit when it started. You better believe it was. There was a shame attached to it. And now the shame is attached to a similar move of God. All right, the Christian church today has become an institution just as the Pharisaic church of Jesus' day was an institution. You folks who are Christians, you're a member of the institution. This is a throwback to the Pharisees. It's a throwback to the scribes and the traditionalists. Now, the fresh move today that you say you would have joined when Jesus was on earth, that's what the things that we are believing, the things that Paul is teaching, that you reject the salvation of all, the conciliation of a God to the world, the sovereignty of a God, that there's no such thing as free will. This is part of the fresh movement. And if you reject this, you're rejecting what God is doing today through the Apostle Paul. Bottom line is, this message is just as despised today as it was then. There is just as much of a social stigma attached to it, and there's just as much criticism against it from the people in the accepted institution. Why are you accepted, Christian? Do you ever wonder that? Why is your religion so accepted? Why is it so popular? Why is it that you can wear a cross around your neck and be a beautiful person, be not persecuted? You have to ask yourself that. The reason is that you are believing a lie, and that the truth, as taught by Paul, is going to be so unpopular that those who embrace it will suffer a social stigma. And only those who do not have a spirit of fear will embrace it. Because it takes a certain amount of bravery to embrace something that instinctively you know is true. And let's take the truth of the salvation of all, for instance. I think people instinctively know that it's true, but because they're afraid, just like Nicodemus, right? He feared what his fellow priests would say if they saw him talking to the lunatic Jesus Christ. And he was seen to be a lunatic of his day. And they are afraid of other people seeing them. And many of us know the truth in our hearts. I've talked to pastors, or I've heard of pastors, who say, yeah, you know, we secretly do believe in the things you're teaching, but we can't confess this. Why not? Because we'll lose our jobs, we'll lose our wives, we'll lose the esteem of the community, we'll lose our income, we'll lose respect. All these things having to do with a social stigma, that's fear. And Timothy had some of these same fears, that he was going to be rejected, that he was now out of step with the mainstream. Now see, I've lived pretty much my whole life out of step with the mainstream, so I don't see such a big deal of it. But by that, to say that if you find yourself in step, you need to look around and say, what went wrong? The church has sold out to become a corporation. It exists to make money. It's not the invigorated, pure, happy, exciting thing it was. And people are afraid to follow their instincts. Many people listening to me have the instinct that the church is wrong, that the doctrines are wrong, and yet because all their friends are doing it, they're afraid to do it. And this is why Paul's prayer in 2 Timothy 1:7-8 is for a prayer for deliverance from the spirit of fear, and for the prayer to not be ashamed of what appears on the outside as a shameful, embarrassing walk. And again, I say, when your leader is in jail, that's a potential for an embarrassing walk. Who wants to endorse this kind of thing? But remember, let this give you courage, is that our apostle suffered the same shame. And even the people we picture as these heroes of faith who are nearest and dearest to him, thinking specifically now of Timothy, the recipient of this second letter. The fact that the opening lines of this are telling Timothy that God does not give you a spirit of fear. Therefore, Timothy must have been deathly afraid of something. And the next thing Paul says is he gives us a sound mind. So apparently Timothy was ready to lose his sound mind. Maybe he was caught between a rock and a hard place, wanting to follow Paul, but maybe his family thought he was nuts, or his brothers and sisters, his co-workers, somewhere somebody was putting pressure to bear on Timothy to forsake Paul. How can Paul be right, Timothy? I know you like him, and I know he says some good things. He's very sincere, but the man's in jail, and there's rumors going all over the place that he's an evildoer. He's a man who has encouraged other people to sin. These were some of the lies being told about Paul. And I know, friends, that there are some of you out there, lies are being told about you too. I know they've been told about me. Nothing hurts worse. And it could tend to make you crazy and to make you just want to sell out and get out of it because it's too hard to be the odd person. Don't do it. Read 2 Timothy. Read Paul's opening exhortation to Timothy in chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. But I'm telling you this, what Paul told Timothy, and I'm going to read it now out of the Concordant Version. For God gives us not a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of sanity. You're the only sane person in the group of people arguing against you. You are the only sane person. I know everybody's trying to convince you that you're insane. Go to martinzender.com, go to Zenderflix, and type in Psycho Boy. Watch my film about this. Or go to YouTube, type in Martin Zender, and put in Psycho Boy. I made a film about a guy who everybody thinks he's crazy because he's actually believing things that God says of him. The world is going to be arrayed against you, but stand firm. You're not alone, and it's not unusual. This is not some weird, unusual thing that's happening to you. It's status quo. The greatest men and women of God were thought to be the nuts of their era. You're the only sane person in the room. Trust that you're believing the right thing by believing the words of Paul, and that God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and of sanity. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor yet of his prisoner, the Apostle Paul. This has been Martin Zender from my studio in Sacramento, California. I know it's Christmas Eve, so have a nice one. That's all I have to say about that. God bless you, and I'll be back with you on Christmas Day, because I got nothing to say about that either.